how are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies.
Adams is on.
Here we are, folks, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, and we're on the program tonight, Rick Adams Uncensored, Wednesday night edition of our broadcast. And I'm hoping to hear at some point from Carolyn Yeager, who has been invited to our program. And we're waiting for her to connect through Skype, I guess, through Skype. Carolyn, I guess, has quite a an interesting background in radio, and she has a number of, positions having to do with Holocaust and Holocaust revisionism that is of interest, I'm sure, to many people. She specializes in that area of expertise in discussing World War II issues and issues pertaining to the issue of genocide, the issue of the war itself, what is real, what is not real, what is true, what is not true, has her own radio program called The Heretics Hour, and she has done some very interesting interviews with people such as the former political prisoner, Germa Rudolph. And so it'd be interesting to talk with Carolyn. Definitely very interesting to chat with her. And we hope to be able to do that in a short time. She said she would be Skyping us. So we'll wait, and we will be happy to have her on the program. It's exciting, I think, to try to do things that are out of the ordinary as far as radio programming is concerned, to try to bring about programs such as these that are of interest to our listeners. I think many of our listeners having to do with these particular issues that I know I'm interested in it, and I've always been interested in studying these issues so that we can get some honest, what they call revisionist historical analysis on, because I think most of the people who listen to my voice will admit that we have been given anything but honesty in historical areas having to do with World War I and II, particularly. But then again, I think all wars have had a great deal of historical inaccuracy embedded within them. So I think that's a given, having studied enough of the facts in just about every war in American history, as well as many in European history, which, of course, as you know, is a continent of just about constant warfare. So anyway, we are waiting to hear from Carolyn Yeager, and hopefully we'll do that. And in the meantime, of course, we have a number of issues that I see are on the burner, as we like to say, things that need to be talked about, as ever and always. And, of course, it was interesting to see Mr. Diamond before the Congressional Committee today talking about his latest apology. His latest apology for the plunder which he and J.P. Morgan Chase are responsible for. Well, we'll come back, folks, with more of Rick Adams Uncensored right here on RBN.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter, a complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working Capital Cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
All right. Well, 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 ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. And now that we're back from the break, we can get right into the program. And we are pleased to announce that we do have Carolyn with us now, Carolyn Yeager. And she is right with us right now. We've managed to connect. Hello, Carolyn.
Nice to be here.
Thank you. Very good. You're coming across loudly and clearly and very audibly, so I'm happy for that. We're connected on Skype, and you sound very, very audible, very clear. Now, I know we were talking off air a moment or so ago about introducing you for the sake of people who have never heard of Carolyn, but you know what? I mean, I always ask my guests to tell us anyway a little bit about themselves. And I know you sent me your bio and so forth, but
yeah.
I'd like you to just,
yeah,
just
right.
Like I'm talking to you now, to tell me about Carolyn and your interest in all of these subjects.
Well, I've been making myself known on the internet since about 2007, I guess. And I have got 3 websites that I have to deal with, and I have two radio programs going now. And I have my personal website, CarolynJaeger.com. I would recommend, if people want to know anything about me and can read up all about everything I've ever done since, I guess, 2007, not before that, except for my artwork from before that is on there. They go there and look around. And then all my radio archives, my radio program archives, are available there, every one I've ever done. And after we finish this program tonight, Rick, I will ask for an MP3 of it, and I will post that on my website, too. And then my other website is Ellie Wiesel Cons the World, and I got into that a little over 2 years ago. In conjunction with Bradley Smith, and his webmaster, we built this website, Ellie Wiesel Cons the World, and I was for me to manage, and I hope to get other people on board to do things. But you know how it turns out. Everybody's all for it, and they think it's a great idea, but when it comes to writing, they don't feel confident, or they don't have any, they can't write about it, or they don't want to spend the time, or whatever. And so the whole thing is Carolyn Jaeger, and articles by me, and I've done a lot of in-depth research and writing on Ellie Wiesel. There's a lot of articles there, and I don't think anybody in the world knows more about Ellie Wiesel than me at this point, except Ellie Wiesel. And I wish if he would tell the truth, we would learn a lot. But
but you know what I'd like to do is just out of curiosity, Carolyn, because I have not had the pleasure of listening to much of you, although a little bit, you know, from time to time when you've appeared on RVN as a guest. Tell us a little bit about what attracted you to the subject matter. Like many of us, you know, we have been attracted to history, and we've been attracted to revisionism and getting into correcting the, you know, the quote official story through other issues. So let me ask you, in your background, what was it that really got you so curious and involved in the scholarship of research here?
I consider it research in Holocaust and World War II revisionism, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what I really got into, and I'm still into.
Right.
And I would say, how did that start? Well, it started because I got on the internet, and I was in my last, I think by then I was retired. I wasn't going to work anymore. I'm not really, I never really retired in the sense that I had some long, you know, position somewhere and then I took my retirement. But, you know, I just stopped, thought I didn't have to keep, go to work anymore. So then I had more time and I was doing different things, but I finally really got connected with all the potential and all the information and so on the internet. And I started listening and reading things, and this is what attracted my attention, this subject matter. And so I was focusing on blogs discussion. I wasn't interested in blogs at all then. Discussion forums, you know.
Yes.
Like Yahoo discussion forums or other discussion. And they're not discussion forums. Like Kodo is. What is that called? That's called something. Good grief. But that's it's a discussion group, I guess. Or I can't even think of what those things are called. But I got onto those. And whenever I'm listening, you know, I'm reading things, then I get ideas, and then I can't quite keep myself from finally joining in and saying something here and there. But I was very, very hesitant at first. You know, I didn't have much confidence in myself. Mm-hmm. And so, but I just continued that way, and I started listening to radio programs. I met someone who introduced me to the American Free Press newspaper and all of these issues, and that was around the time of when 9/11 was really breaking out, and the 9/11 Truth Movement. So that's really kind of where I started with 9/11 Truth, and then it branched over to other other big hoaxes, and then it went into Holocaust. And I was really amazed and very gratified to find out that that there were a lot of questions about the Holocaust, and it wasn't necessarily the way it was said to be. So I really started studying that. And I just, you know, took to all of that. And I when I get interested in something and when I put my attention on something, I can really get focused on it. And I've been very absorbed in it, I would say, since around 2007.
Yeah.
And it's been growing. So, Right now.
I've noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right now, I've just started this new radio network called the White Network, and I would like to talk about that. It doesn't not right sure. this minute, but a little bit later. What we have in mind with that. Okay.
Well, that's good, and that's interesting.
Well, I have a. I guess I should say I have a German background. I mean, I'm fully American. I was born here and all, but I do have a all German family background.
Your ancestry.
And ancestry. Yeah. And I've always been aware of that, and I've always probably been a little sensitive or a little unhappy about the way Germans have been are portrayed, you know, in history, particularly 20th century history.
Right,
so
right.
That's why this is kind of this, you know, hit me more, and I became more and more
interested
in getting to the truth about this.
Right, right. Very interesting. And did you have an academic background prior to getting involved? Did you have any background in teaching or anything of that sort?
Well, I not in a real strong sense. I did go to college, and I graduated with a bachelor's of fine art. I was an art student, but I did, you know, do my academics. But I wouldn't say those were the academics that I was required to do were. You know, real strenuous, and they weren't on a high level. They were kind of, you know, simple, basic level.
Uh-huh.
So, but I'm, you know, I'm intelligent enough, and I've always been a big reader. I've always read a lot all my life. And when I was young, I read all the literature. I liked novels, and I read classical literature. I read tons of it from all different countries and so on. Of course, all translated into English, and then at some point, I never wanted to read fiction again, and I started reading nonfiction, and now, I guess since about 2004, I started reading revisionist history.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, that very term, Carolyn, came up the other night, and I think some people, you know, can put whatever spin or connotation on the term revisionism they want, but I look at it as a very complementary term, only because history is constantly being revised, and by honest scholars and honest independent researchers, you know how few there are today, and they have to revise, they have to change, they have to update the historical accounts of just about everything. So why, when it comes to Germany, when it comes to the 20th century and World War, why all of a sudden does it become such a negative connotation when it comes to revisionism, to getting at all of the facts concerning that war, or those wars, you see?
Well,
so
because,
I think that's good.
Yeah, World War II and the Nuremberg Judgment, or Judgment at Nuremberg, is the foundation for the globalist power structure that we're living under today.
Sure.
That's why. And so to upset that is to upset the whole thing.
Indeed.
So that's why they hold such a tight noose on it.
Absolutely. Makes a lot of sense. And we're going to explore this tonight. I think we'll have a lot of fun, in a sense, and a lot of questions. People will be able to chime in later in the second hour. And let's get back to our program after our commercial sponsors. We'll come back in 3 minutes with Rick Adams and Carolyn Yeager.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Terravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Terravim? Simple. Terravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to terravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Terravim, the best supplements on earth.
Do you need that sustained boost of energy, but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks? Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A one-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
And we're back now, folks, with Carolyn Yeager. And Carolyn was just telling us about her own interest, her own background, her own ethnicity, and her desire to get involved in revisionist history. And, you know, Carolyn, you mentioned 9/11. 9/11 has spurred many people to start opening the door to real history, simply because they now see that the whole thing was a hoax. And if the media will lie to us over and over again about 9/11, what won't they lie to us about? And what haven't they lied to us about since their very existence? So, you know, it is a blessing in a sense, you know, that 9/11 has taken place, only in the sense that we can now see a great number of American people and people all over the world opening their minds to logic, to inquiry, and historical accuracy about what is or is not true. As you said, nonfiction now is your mainstay. So let's proceed then. Let's proceed. What did you want to talk about first? Because I have a number of questions based on your own research and the like, but did you want to get into some of the basic underlying falsehoods about World War II and Germany that we have all been given and entreated to?
Well, you know, it's so huge, Rick.
I know.
I don't know where to start.
We could spend months.
But the point is right that 9/11 opened a lot of people's eyes, and it certainly opened my eyes. And when I think, when I, you know, just I'm very interested in the whole idea of hoaxes and how we believe in them, and how when you finally see through it, you say, how could I have believed all that? But yet, all of us have believed things that really were ridiculous, because we just, it's just an interesting phenomenon how media and how our upbringing and the feeling, the idea that everybody else believes it, so we just don't question it. We don't even think that it could not be true. But I think now, as you said, there's a shift going on where we're finally becoming aware that things are not true. You know, I often think about in terms of the good old days when I was growing up. You know, and life was so safe and nice and different than it is now. But at the same time, we were so naive. Nobody questioned anything that the government said. Mm-hmm. There's still an awful lot of people like that. Mm-hmm. But it takes a while. But, you know, talking about hoaxes, how do we, when we look at 9/11, we see the evidence and we see the, you know, talking about Building 7. And if you try to talk about that to somebody, they don't want to hear it. You know, they just really don't want to open their mind to it. And it's the same way with the Holocaust, even more so. If you try to talk and point out, well, what about this? What about that? They just don't want to hear anything that's going to question it. And so they bring up the facts that they think they know and say, well, what about that? That means, you know, there are people who will say, well, you know, I went to Auschwitz and I saw all that hair and I saw all those shoes. You know, mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about in those big cases? I was there and they're big, kind of disgusting. I mean, these big, huge glass cases full of these old rotting looking shoes and stuff. And they say, you know, I saw it. And, you know, I was talking to one person when I was there and I said, well, that doesn't prove anything about what happened to the people who own those shoes. Well, I think it does, he said. You know, he was angry, you know, so you can't get anywhere. But this is people want to believe, they believe what they want to believe. So that's how I think.
And also, not only what they want to believe, but what it's almost unheard of not to believe in, because now they've been so Talmudicized or Talmudicized in their minds and their thinking with political correctness that it would be almost an unforgivable sin. You know, you'd be ostracized to think any way different from what we're supposed to think, what we're programmed to think.
Well, you're right, and that's it. We are Talmudized, and our society is Judaized, and we are under Judaic. Not just influence, but you know, the domination in media and in our academic world. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think people are better off if they don't even go to college or university, because they get the stuff that they are indoctrinated with there is so much worse than it ever used to be, and they come out with just all these beliefs. Of course, they should be able to get over them in time, but. I think higher education, although I certainly wanted it for myself, but I think it's vastly overrated unless you're going into a specialty, you know, right. Scientific or something,
sure.
Or engineering. Yeah. Of course you need that. But I mean, these liberal arts programs,
exactly.
And where people take, now they take, Judaic studies, or they take, African studies, or all these different kind of things.
Yeah,
and they can actually get these degrees without ever really learning anything of what we used to think of as an education.
I agree fully. I've been there, done that, and I was paid back in college for being one of those thinkers, you know. We'll come right back to our guest, Carolyn Yeager, and much more. Stay tuned, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart
starts with Extendivite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Whatever needs to be done, we gotta do ourselves.
All right, we're back now with Carolyn, and we're really getting into some of the basics here, folks. Foundations, where do you begin? Where do you begin with history? And, you know, Carolyn, I'll let you address this because I know you've spent a great deal more time in it than I have. But when it comes to Germany in particular, and when it comes to the First and Second World Wars, it is amazing how little people know about what led to these wars and who the real culprits were. And I have often said that in both wars, Germany was victimized at least twice and a third time, even more than that, if you will, in terms of all of the other reparations and all of the other occupations. You know, Germany today is still an occupied nation. And just as Japan has been, and we've never liberated those people or any of the others that we claim, but in fact enslaved people and led to their demise, their extermination, not only the Eastern Europeans and Central and Europe and the Baltic republics and China and all of these other regions, but you know, in Germany itself. Seems to me, based on the research I've done, that the greatest Holocaust itself was against the German people. And you tell people that, and they look at you like, where have you been, man? You must be one of those anti-Semites, you know, and we got to put you away, that type of thing. But that's my research, the fact that if you look at all of the numbers and you look at the campaign, right from the beginning of World War One and the Rothschild elite, and what they were up to, you get that distinct conclusion. You have to come to that conclusion based on the numbers themselves. 15 million ethnic Germans cleansed, if you will, killed, genocided. Even if you accept the 6 million figure pertaining to the Jews, which I don't, but if you did, we're talking, you know, a heck of a lot more people other than the Jews who were killed, including the German people and especially Germans.
Yeah, and this is not talking about soldiers who were killed fighting.
No.
This is people, Germans that were killed purposely, you know, which didn't have to happen. They went after them. I mean, this was actually a murder on purpose, trying to kill as many German people to make there be less German people. Well, speaking of Germany, you know, and we have to ask that the question: why was Germany targeted? Because you pointed out that it goes way back. It's all the way, you know, going quite a ways back. It was always Germany that was blamed for things.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea that Germany has been presented as a warmongering country or war-loving is not borne out by the facts. The facts are that even France, Spain, and Britain all were far more, got involved in wars far more than Germany ever did. Germany's on the bottom of the list. But, you know, one thing, there's three things that I think, but one, the most easy to say, is that Germany is in the middle of Europe, and it's considered that Germany is essential to a healthy Europe and a strong Europe. And if you can destroy Germany, you can destroy Europe. And I think that's one reason that it was always Germany that was targeted. But also, if people didn't have such a big, plan that looking at it from a long term view, just the fact, that Germany was in the middle, and so it was surrounded by other European nations, and when they would have these conflicts when people wanted to get other people's land, or they felt that they needed to protect themselves from the others or whatever, they would always try Germany was always involved in all of those things, you know, with everybody, because everybody was they had all these neighbors. You know, the more neighbors you have, the more trouble you can have. So that's another reason why Germany was often blamed, and then they would join together and blame Germany, say, you know, France and Poland or something, because they were on either side and they had some grievance, so they could do that, and this was often going on. But also, there's the Jewish factor, and then I also think there's the British factor that plays a real big part in Britain's desire not to allow Germany to become a real competitor. Economically, you know, it's always been economics with the British Empire.
Exactly. No, you're right. And the German industrialists, and, you know, because I happen to be in a particular interest hobby field, and I know the ingenuity of the German, creativity and industry and so forth was always superior in terms of the European continent to anything else, you know, and Austria as well, and even Sweden in many respects in terms of manufacturing particular, photographic equipment or audio equipment and so forth. And the governments installed in Britain, you know, over the years by the Rothschilds, influenced by them, if you will, had always looked, askance at that, Germany's industrial output and potential was enormous, and it would be enormous all over the world. And it had to be stopped. It had to be destroyed. It had to be cut down. You know, after the war, the infamous Morgenthau Plan was actually nixed by Truman, but it would have essentially reduced Germany back to an agricultural state and destroyed all of its industry because of its fantastic production capabilities and its potential. But that is a real factor. Economics is a very powerful.
Well, oh, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, even though the Morgenthau faction there was more extreme than most and was very vindictive, you know, wanted revenge, and they really wanted to absolutely get the world rid of Germans unless they were made into slaves. But and to that faction, even the British hierarchy or elite thought that was going too far, and they realized that this was not going to work out well for them either. But speaking of the Jews and the British, well, you know, the British have always absorbed more Jews into their elite and their, you know, government running class than anybody else, except, well, maybe the Dutch, but you know, so therefore you have the British economic concern and jealousy, but then you have the Jewish element in there with it, and it's made it very ruthless. You know, I mean, the British just behave when the chips are down in a really ruthless fashion. And I hate to blame the British people for that, because I know that the real true English people and so on are just good people. Their ruling class is pretty cutthroat.
The usurpers, I think, would be a good term. The usurpers have taken over, just as they have in this country.
Yes, well, yeah, and the United States has become, you know, worse than anybody else. And so we've got this Anglo-American power structure, which Europe feels they can't go up against, you know, and there are all the governments installed in Europe are, you know, pretty much go along with the Bilderberg programs and things like that. So it's all stacked against us momentarily at the time, and you have to think, you know, what, and everybody's talking all the time about what can happen, what will happen, what can be done to chip away at this or make a crack in this, unless it just cracks itself right wide open.
You know, so essentially the last portions of the program, we have just given an established, you know, our own established view. I think we pretty much see eye to eye here on the isolation of and the singling out of Germany since the beginning of the 20th century. And, you know, it also had to do with the power politics and Illuminism and the Rothschilds vis-a-vis Italy, you know, the unification of Italy and what was going on there at the time, and Bismarck and others in Germany as well. And they were setting the stage, essentially, for the First World War in the 1800s, you see. And they were doing it with the Habsburg dynasty in Austria and so forth. And, you know, just to give a very brief general overview of it, it seems as if they knew instinctively somehow that in Germany was a great potential to really to set the stage for a wave that would be quite in opposition to what would be taking place just a few years down the road in Russia. You know, the takeover of Russia, the Bolshevik Communist Revolution, that would pose a threat to everyone. And Germany was the only nation that was, I believe, certainly capable of dealing with that threat. So they had to be neuterized, you know?
Yeah, I think that the Germans have been more resistant to the Jew, to Jewish infiltration amongst their people than many, many others. I would say that while there are elements that when with the Jew, there are a lot of there were quite a number of Jews in Germany, and when the emancipation came for the Jews, they made great strides, and there were many who didn't mind that, but a large segment of the people well, Germans tend to be more nationalistic, and they saw that this was a problem, and they didn't like it. And this was the Folkish movement, and that was very strong in Bavaria. And a lot of this was going on then, and there, this is where anti-Semitism arose then, because they didn't like how the Jews were taking over so much in certain areas of life that were very important. Like, we know that they have taken over now totally in media, in law, in academic universities, and so on. And
in banking.
And, oh, yeah. I was trying to think of all the things, but banking is huge. And, and you know, it was always the aristocrats who invited Jews in to be their bankers, you know, to help them with their money. And that was what always opened it up. You know, once they were favorites of these aristocrats and running and taking care of their money then their banking business would grow and grow and grow. And there was nothing or no one there to stop it, obviously. So pretty soon they had all this power, and nobody knew, the ordinary people didn't know how they got it, but they didn't like it.
Well, I think the thing that, at least, you know, that I understand about it is not so much even that they didn't like it, but that they perceived that what was happening was that in this clique of Jews, a very small percentage of the rest of the population, there was a very strong selfish interest, that is, us against you. And it became a question of loyalty, that is, loyalty within the German Republic, right?
Right.
As to whether
right.
or not they were going to, in war, side with us, which, you know, this country saying Germany gave them refuge from persecution in other countries, in Spain, for instance, and so forth, and whether or not they wouldn't. And it turned out that they were. It turned out in large numbers, a very high percentage of them were indeed siding with the enemies of Germany.
You're talking
country.
About World War One,
yeah.
right? That's
yeah.
when it became quite obvious that the Jewish element was out to cause Germany to lose the war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, not every Jew, and at that time there were loyal German Jews, and there were supposedly quite a lot of them, not, you know, percentage wise, in the military. But there was that element, you know, that financial element,
mm-hmm.
And so once the way that World War One ended, was where it brought it out quite clearly, that the Jews were not loyal Germans, and that's what started a stronger anti-Semitic, beliefs of which brought out, which Adolf Hitler became a big part of.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm hearing you. Yeah, I mean, we're just taking a very basic overview without all of the specifics, because we could obviously go on for weeks and weeks every night, going over history. But to look at it from a basic, easy thumbnail sketch, I mean, essentially that was true in Europe, particularly. And let's not forget that, I mean, in previous days, in previous centuries, that Germany had opened its doors, opened its doors to Jewish migration because of the persecution element in other countries. And then, you know, people started going back and looking at their Lutheran, you know, their Lutheran heritage and reading the works of Martin Luther. Which, you know, you had a great deal, I guess, in Germany, about maybe 50-50 Catholic and Lutheran. And in the Lutheran movement, of course, there was this, this historical reference by Martin Luther himself to Jewry as the Jews and their lies in his treatise. And what he found out, because he started reading the Talmud and going to the Talmud for his source of information. So, you know, all of this was taking place and building up a great deal of influence. By the time World War One ended, of course, and Germany was sacked, raped, plundered with an enormous war debt that they couldn't pay, and the German mark became useless. Well, they saw that mostly it was Jews who were prospering while everyone else was suffering.
Well, yes, and after World War One, Jews from Eastern Europe started entering Germany, and they really came kind of flooding in. And a lot of Russian Jews, they call themselves this, that, and the other, you know, but they all were basically from Russia, and you know, they say, well, we're Hungarian, we're Polish, we're Ukrainian, we're Romanian, but they're basically Russian, and they're the ones who started becoming very obvious and obnoxious.
Yeah, in the forefront of that movement. Okay, hey, we'll take a break. Come right back with Carolyn Yeager, our guest, and yeah, we'll take calls in the second hour too.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we're back now. And Carolyn Yeager, our guest, she has her own radio programs and the White Network, and she has a treason radio, I guess. Isn't that right, Carolyn? Program?
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Rick. I would like to mention my programs. My new network that I'm broadcasting from now is the White Network, and we just started it with Tan Stoffel, who is the blogger at Age of Treason blog, and so his program is the Age of Treason radio program. program. It's on. He just started it. Did his first show last night, and it's going to be every Tuesday at the White Network. And I have two shows there now. That my show, The Heretics Hour, that, as I said, has been running for almost 2.5 years now. And yet my new show is Saturday afternoon with Carolyn, or Saturday afternoon with Carolyn Yeager, which I have done one now. So, you know, we're just brand new. And I did, I interviewed Vincent Renoir last Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'll be having that every Saturday afternoon. So
that's quite an achievement, you know, to come up with the name, The Heretics Hour. I marveled at that when I had first heard about it some time ago, and I thought that was quite creative, actually, for you to come up with that, because it does sort of get the eyebrows raised, you know, and the ears to tuning in, and people want to know what the heresies are, you know, and I know it's a play on words and what you're trying to do, and it is quite effective in turning, I guess, some people on to just listening to find out what's the fuss all about. Well, what is the fuss all about? Well, people go to jail today. People are being persecuted today for revealing history, for arguing with what is presented as fact and presented as, you know, history to students all over the world. You know, before the previous breaks, you mentioned about education in the colleges and what's taught there. You know, it's sad that we have a Catholic college here, and where I'm from in Providence, and it's Providence College. And Providence College could very easily be called Tel Aviv College or Jerusalem College, because in it they have a whole department of study now on Holocausts, on the Holocaust.
Oh, brother.
And can you imagine, I'm saying, here's a Dominican school, a Dominican Catholic school, that actually offers this extensive course on the Holocaust.
Well, you see, Jews come along with all their money, and they offer a lot of money to these all kinds of colleges and universities. What they do is they say, we will establish this department for you, and we will fund it, and we will pay for the teachers, and we will do all this, and maybe they give them some more, I don't know, on top of that. And they're willing to do it. And I just not too long ago, Elie Wiesel had a big speech at another Catholic university. It was called, I can't think of the name of it, but I wrote about it. It's in Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And and they have a big Jewish department. And there's so much Jewish influence in that city, and that just it just carries over to all the schools there, and nobody can resist it. I mean, they just can't stand up against it, or maybe they don't want to.
Well, yeah, and part of that, too, at the university level, is not only the money that they give, but then the money that can come rolling in to these colleges, universities, from the federal government for being as politically correct as they are, and grants and so forth come in from these private foundations that plenty of money, the Annenberg Foundation and so forth, and they want them to teach the Holocaust. And, you know, you might not see a page of history of the slaughters of all of the Christians in the 20th century just in World War II, but you will have a whole course of study on what purportedly happened to the Jews. And that is